drops gently sink. Our hearts in one accord. Sometimes, hallelujah. Sometimes, praise the Lord. Sometimes, gently singing. Our hearts in one accord.
Oh, let us lift our voices up to the sky and start to sing. Oh, let us now return His love.
Oh, yes.
Sounds of praises fill the air. Oh, let us sing.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Of Jesus'
you,
love to people everywhere.
Sometimes it's hallelujah. Give Him a real good hand clap of praise. He's worthy of it tonight, church. Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? What a privilege it is. We're just so glad to have you here. Most of all, we're glad that the presence of the Lord is going to be with us in this service tonight. Where two or three are gathered, He promised to be in the midst thereof. Do you believe that with all your heart tonight? Oh, why don't you just turn around and shake somebody's hand. Tell them how glad you are to see them in the house of the Lord tonight. What a privilege. Play just a little bit more of that, guys, if you will. Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. You can be seated for just a little while tonight while we look at our prayer request. Brother Brad Yance, if you would get ready to lead us to the Lord tonight on behalf of these prayer requests. We've got several tonight that we want to let you know about. Sister Sylvia Barham says to please pray for Carmen Crumb, that is Jim McKinney's mother-in-law. She has Alzheimer's, suffered from a stroke. She's very aggressive, not eating or drinking. May God bless you. Appreciate if you'd remember that prayer request tonight on that lady's behalf. So we just commit it to the Lord. Please pray for Chloe Mason and Maggie Ball, all very sick. So we want to pray for those children tonight, that the Lord would be mindful of them. Want to pray for Levi Holmes, broke his arm. He is still having a lot of pain. Brother Wade sends that in, so we want to pray for that child, that the Lord would just be mindful of that situation. The family of Sister Elizabeth Collins wants to thank Happy Valley Church for their prayers during the extended illness of Sister Elizabeth, who is now in a much better place in the brand new body. And we ask that they would remember her husband, Joel, and their four-year-old son in prayer as they go through this season of their life. May the Lord just, may He really just hold them real close and be with them. We pray that would be the case tonight. Sister Brenda Harmon called and requested prayer for her daughter, Jaden, very sick with a stomach virus, unable to eat. So they're asking that we would pray for a speedy recovery. So we pray that the Lord would be mindful of that. The Arendt family, Sister Vicki, Sarah Grace, and Brother Frederick, they want to thank you so much for the beautiful wreath that you sent to the funeral for Warren. We sincerely appreciate the prayers, love, and support that you have shown to us this past year. May God bless that family. And they are in service with us tonight. Somebody say praise the Lord. God bless that family tonight. I want to pray for Sister Judy Hughes, who has suffering from diabetes. So let's pray for that need tonight. Sister Pat Nunley wants to thank everyone for their prayers during her recent surgery for the beautiful fruit basket. And she just so glad that she could be back in the service tonight. Sister Patty, we're glad to see you in service tonight. Amen. Brother Randy Scott says, please remember me. Mike and the kids and Ryan. They are all homesick, fighting flu-like symptoms and congestion. So we want to pray for that need tonight. I want to pray for Jonathan Baker and Sister Baker. She's still having problems with her back, so let's pray for those folks tonight. I want to pray for the Williams family. Their daughter Stephanie Farrell passed away recently after an extended illness. So we certainly want to believe Brother Frank and some of the folks are here in this service with us tonight. We just want to, we're praying for y'all. We certainly are, aren't we, church? We certainly are. So let's continue to remember those folks in prayer. Sister Joanne Tessa asked for prayer for her, Linda, and Eddie and family. They're traveling to her brother's funeral. Also, comfort for her sister-in-law, Jane, and all that family during this time of their life, that the Lord would be mindful of them. I want to pray for Brother Greg Robbins, who is the flu. Also, Sister Shirley Fell is very sore in her body. Also, remember Jennifer High, who has a blood clot in her leg and is in the intensive care unit. So we want to certainly remember that need tonight. Pray for Brother Pete Lawson, who is having back surgery tomorrow morning. So let's pray that all will be well in that. I want to pray for Erica Parker, not feeling well tonight. Let's pray for her recovery. Sister Jill Fleeman made it to Arizona to be admitted to the hospital in Mexico tomorrow. She had a difficult flight. Please pray that she can get her healing and that God will guide the doctors to do the right things for her. Extra prayer are needed right now. Her address for cards and gifts will be on the bulletin board in the lobby. So we certainly want to pray for her while she's there in Mexico, that the Lord would just be mindful of her situation. Just a lot of things going on. So let's pray for that need tonight. I want to pray for Sister Maribel Marrero to get a job closer to her home and with better hours. They're sending that prayer request in. Also, Brother Rocky Ward sent a prayer request in for Jerry Shook. He's a personal friend of Brother Rocky's from over in North Carolina, very sick. Also, Brother Rocky was taking Sister Daisy Rice to the emergency room tonight, so we want to be much in prayer for her, that the Lord would be mindful of that situation. I believe that's all the prayer requests. We've got a lot to ask him about tonight, don't we? All the unspoken, if you have a need tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about, could we stand together as Brother Brad Yance comes tonight to take us to the Lord in prayer? We just commit these things unto the Lord. Love you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Let's all pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, as I sit in my seat, God, and hear all these requests, Lord, that people have needs of you, God. Father, knowing that one day that you come down and picked up a body and named him Jesus, that you'd go through when our kids were sick, God, you would know how they felt. When the grown-ups, Lord, when we get sick and stressed out, you know exactly how we feel, God. Father, I just pray you go to each one of these requests, Father. May you move according to your perfect will, Father, that you would move upon them, God. Every hand that was raised, Lord, the needs in our hearts, Lord. Lord, we're a needy people, and we need you tonight, Father. We thank you for the service of the weekend, Lord, but God, we need you again tonight to come and feed us, Father. Lord, may you anoint the singing, Father. Brother Louie, the musicians, any special songs, God, but Lord, most of all, anoint my brother, Father, as he comes out and speaks to us, God. We're expecting to hear your voice to us tonight. Speak to our hearts. God, we give you the praise and ask you to take full control of this service in Jesus' name.
Receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting with us tonight in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that would be streaming, we pray the service would be a great blessing to those that are streaming this service tonight. Well, let's sing a song. Let me make a couple of announcements before we do that. There will be a trustee meeting after service tonight, so if you would, trustees, remember that. Also, there's some information over in the library that will be available to all of the young people. Brother Donnie would like for you youth to know that there is valuable information from the meetings in Newport, Tennessee concerning courtship and dating. And he would like for you, if you would, to go by the library after a while, after service is over, pick up, it's a little pamphlet. I think it would be a great help to you. And Brother Donnie would like for all the youth that are that of that age to go and pick that up, that information. All right? Are you ready to sing a song?
Yes,
somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say glory. Let's give him one more hand clap of praise in the house of the Lord tonight. Let's sing that tonight. I'd rather have Jesus, wouldn't you? On this cold January the 3rd, 2018. Here we are, assembled on this hill, ready to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Give him praise and give him honor and give him glory. Did our brothers do a good job over the weekend for us? Do you appreciate them? God bless their hearts. Praise the Lord.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land.
Yes, we would, Lord.
I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand. I'd rather have Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Than men's applause.
Yes, we would, Lord.
I'd rather be faithful to His dear cause.
I'd rather have Jesus
than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to His holy name than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything
of this old world affords today. Sing that chorus one more time.
I'd rather have You, Jesus, than anything
on this old world affords today. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated tonight. Let's sing a little chorus. Sister Sarah, if you come onto the platform. Brother David, if you want to come onto the platform, be getting ready to sing for us tonight. But let's sing this chorus. We sing it a lot around here, but it's the truth. God is good. And all the time. Somebody say, I believe it with all my heart. Give Him one more hand clap of praise tonight if you love Him. Amen. Well, I said my God is good. I know He is. He's good all the time. God is good. Yes, He is. He's good all the time.
You can search the whole world over, and no greater thing you'll find.
Oh, say it to the church. Well, now He's not good. Once in a while, He's good all the time. Yes, He is. He's good all the time. God is good. Yes, He is. He's good all the time.
You can search the whole world over, and no greater friend you'll find.
Oh, now He's not good just once in a while, but He's good. Sing Him one more time. Well, I know my God is good. Yes, He is. He's good all the time. God is good. Yes, He is. He's good all the time.
You can search the whole world over, and no greater friend you'll ever find.
Amen. Sister Sarah, God bless you tonight.
A long, long time ago, I did not know about Jesus and His love. See, I heard about it, but it never fails. It's this manna that comes from above. When this life of sin I could no longer stand, I asked my mother, how do I get to know this man? She said, you must see, can't you see, you've got to be born again. Let me tell you, you must have that fire and Holy Ghost. That prayer will turn and keeps the fire burning. That kind of experience, you know you can feel it. Might make you move, might make you shout, might make you cry, 'cause it's real. Oh, keep your hands in the Master's hand till your soul's been anchored in Jesus' name. Filled with it, free from sin, you've got to be born. Then you'll know you're born again. Let me tell you, you must have that fire and Holy Ghost. That prayer will turn and keep the fire burning. That kind of experience, you know you can feel it. Might make you move, it might make you shout, it might make you cry, 'cause it's real. Oh, your hands in the Master's hand till your soul's been anchored in Jesus' name. Filled with it, free from sin, you've got to be born again. Let me tell you, you must have that fire and Holy Ghost. That prayer will turn and keep the fire burning. That kind of experience, you know you can feel it. Might make you move, might make you shout, might make you cry, 'cause it's real. Oh, keep your hands in the Master's hand till your soul's been anchored in Jesus' name. Filled with it, free from sin, you've got to be born again. Filled within, free from sin, you've got to be born again. Filled within, free from sin, you've got to be born
thought of the song, Took a Miracle. It talks about the how God put the stars in place in the world, how Brother Donnie's been preaching on that. It says, the greatest miracle is when he saved my soul. My Father is omnipotent, and that you can't deny. A God of might and miracles, 'tis written in the sky. Oh, it took a miracle to put the stars in place, and it took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved
my soul, cleansed and made me whole. It took a miracle of love and grace. Though here His glory has been shown, we still can fully see the wonders of His might, His throne. It will take eternity. The Bible tells us of His power and wisdom all the way through. And every little bird and flower, their testimonies too. Oh, it took a miracle to put the stars in place, and it took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when He saved my soul, yes, He cleansed and made took a miracle. Yes, it took a miracle of love and grace.
Amen.
Though here His glory has been shown, we still can fully see the wonders of His might, His throne. It will take eternity. The Bible tells us of His power and wisdom all the way through. And every little bird and flower, yes, their testimonies too. It took a miracle to put the stars in place, and it took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when He saved my soul, cleansed and made, He made me whole. It took a miracle of love and grace.
Certainly appreciate both songs tonight. They were good, weren't they? We've got some great, great singers here in our assembly. I appreciate them, don't you? Let's stand tonight. Brother Harry's going to lead us in a chorus. Brother Donnie's getting ready to come bring us the word of the Lord. Are you excited? Act like it a little bit. Are you excited tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Glory.
What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You were the Word in the beginning, the one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory and creation now revealed in you. How Christ, what a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You didn't want heaven without us.
Oh, yes, Lord.
So Jesus, He brought heaven down.
Aren't you glad He did?
My sin was great, Your love was greater.
Thank You, Lord God.
What could separate us now? What a wonderful name. Christ, my King.
What a wonderful
name it is. Nothing compares to this.
Thank You, Lord.
What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is.
Yes, Lord.
The name of Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Don't we love that precious name? Amen. A little bit of feedback with Eric on this monitor. Acts chapter 2, verse 46. Aren't you glad to be identified not only with that precious name, but that precious person? And that person started this entity called the church. I'm glad we're identified not only with him, but with it. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 46. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God. Oh.
Yeah.
So you mean the original Pentecostals praised God?
Amen.
So praising God didn't start in 1906. Is that right? Well, I don't understand why I'm called Pentecostal and you all are called Pentecostal by so many of the message people, 1906 Pentecostal, when we worship and praise God and shout every now and then and have a good old Holy Ghost spell, when according to the Bible, these folks acted that way.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord... added to the church daily such as should be saved. So who added? The Lord. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen. How many would like to be remembered before the Lord as we pray tonight? I know we've got many folks that are sick, viruses, flu, all kinds of things going around. Well, let's just hold these needs and requests before the Lord. Amen. Let's pray over the word. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. We're so grateful for this, again, a privilege that's been given to us, dear God. We love you so much. How thankful we are for church, Lord. How grateful we are that we can be able to come to the house of God. Thank you, Lord, to be able to sing, rejoice, clap our hands. Father, be able to praise your name, to be able to hear your word. Then, Father, to be able to take that word and apply it to our lives. We consider it such a great honor. Father, we're asking you tonight that you would just help us and that you would anoint us by your presence. Lord, you see, so many are sick. Father, so much sickness going around, so many different flu bugs, different stomach things and all that. Dear God, I just pray on behalf of your people, many that would like to be here tonight and cannot, those, Lord, in different states and different areas that's going through various things, I pray the presence of God would just move on behalf of your people, Lord. We believe that our lives are brought upon this earth by your divine purpose. There's not enough sickness devils. There's not enough tormenting devils. There's not enough devils out of hell, Lord God, to be able to cut our life short as long as we're walking in harmony with you. So we pray the presence of God would just minister to your saints in the visible audience and invisible as well. Speak to us from your word tonight, Father, we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Let me come back tonight and read to you from five identifications of the true church of the living God, just for a little bit of a foundation, and then we'll go into the scripture here again. Now, we can't get to heaven without we being the church. You can't be in the church until you're born again. You can't go to heaven until you're born again. And notice this now, if you're born again, you're in the church. So you can't go to heaven until you're a member of this church. Now, he's not talking about Branham Tabernacle, Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ, individual churches, but the mystical body. Now, let me reaffirm this to you so you understand it. Most of you believe it already. Brother Branham does not have the key to eternal life. Paul did not have it. You could not get the new birth from Paul, Peter, James, Brother Branham, me, or any other man. God uses men that will lead us to the way, but Jesus is the only one that has the new birth. Right. So you can't go to heaven until you're a member of this church. And you can't be a member until you're born into it. Now let me read this latter part again. So you can't go to heaven until you're a member of this church. Now, that's not Baptist, Methodist, Church of God, this church, Branham Tabernacle, but you've got to be a member of the mystical body of Christ. And you can't be a member until you're born into it. So you can't come around it and just sit there for so many years, and after a while, you become common law. Now, that may work with men and women that live together. And after so many years in the state of Tennessee, they're common law. Each state has its own rights and laws when it comes to that. And after you live together for so long, then you're common law. Actually, you're identified even in the divorce law. Now, not in the state of Tennessee, but in the state of Virginia, state of West Virginia, Indiana, many other states, you're actually identified as that mate by law, even though you have no marriage certificate, but if you can prove that you live with them, common law. Now, that's the way a lot of folks are when it comes to church membership. They are church membership by common law. But that's common law, but denominational thinking, because God don't have no common law wife. If you're a member of God, your common law does not have any credence to God at all. You've got to be His wife, not by common law. Man, ain't that good. Whew. That just fell right straight out of the gates of heaven, right on my mouth, right into your hearts. Amen. You're not common law when it comes to God, but you've got to be born again. And that way, every one of us who are born of the Spirit of God, we come to Him not by common law, but by new birth. Now, how do we get then into this body or this mystical body of the church? Oh, we've been through it already, but, you know, let us go back through it again. I want to skin this devil down so close there ain't hide nor hair left on his bones that he'll walk out of here tonight a skeleton. I want him to be able to leave out of this place tonight from a scriptural basis that we can be able to go right back to the Bible. Praise the Lord. Now, Brother Branham did not come, let me reiterate this to you again. Brother Branham did not come to do away with the Bible. Brother Branham did not come to do away with the Scripture. Brother Branham's teachings come from the Bible. Praise the Lord. I understand my Bible greater than ever before. And the way I understand it is through the message of the hour. I do not love the message and hate the Bible. I do not quote the message and not quote the Bible. I quote both. To me, the message points toward the Bible. The Bible reflects back toward the message. And I have no problem with quoting both. We are a message church. Therefore, we believe in both. Well, praise the Lord. Now, according to what the Word of God has told us, that there would be the advent of a prophet in the last days, and that prophet would come and turn the hearts of the children back to the original apostolic fathers. There'll only be a small percentage of the earth that will ever hear him. There will only be a small percentage out of that small percentage whose hearts will be turned back to the original apostolic faith. Out of there will come many, many people. And they will gather around that message for many years. And many of them will use that message as a springboard by which they will be able to announce their own ministry and try to get you to follow them in following, instead of following that restored word. We've had them for decades and we will have them right on to the rapture. But the bride is not interested in kingdom builders. The bride is interested in following Jesus Christ, the Word. Amen. Now, with that's why we are not ashamed or afraid to read from the Bible, quote from the Bible, base our doctrine upon the Bible, because we believe that's what the prophet of God said. When he was carried beyond the curtain of time, those people told him, when he answered back, said, "We're here because what you said." He said, "Well, Paul had to be judged." Said, "Yes." He said, "What Paul preached, I preached." And them souls answered back, "We are resting on that." And so are we tonight. We do not believe that the message and the Bible are at odds with one another. That's right. But we believe we can preach the new birth under the message insight of the revealed word of the hour by reading the Scripture. As I said to you a week or so ago, I can preach water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and base it on Matthew 28:19. You say, "How in the world can you do that?" Because I have an Acts 2:38 understanding. With an Acts 2:38 understanding, I can read Matthew 28:19 and pull them both together. Now, if I don't have that, then I'll say, "Well, I'd rather take what Jesus said than what Peter said." Sit down, you crazy thing. You don't need to be in the pulpit preaching. Amen. Oh, if you have to stand up and you feel like you're blaspheming by quoting some out of the Bible, and every third word you have to say, you feel like you got to say, "Brother Branham, you don't even understand what the message is all about." And if you stand up in there and you feel like you can't quote Brother Branham, you don't understand what it's all about either. "Well, Brother Donnie, are you saying you understand what it's all about?" No, I don't understand what it's all about. But one little bit I do understand what it's about, I know it ain't about that. I know they don't contradict one another. It would be foolishness on the part of God to send a prophet and then that prophet go stark raving mad and cause the awfulest mess ever was. God been better off never to send him if he's going to do that. It was not the prophet that has called the mess around the message. It was the people that come after the prophet. Some family members, some preachers, this, that, or the other. They are the ones to blame for the mess that's around the message. not the man of God himself. It was not Luther that was responsible for the mess that followed him, nor Wesley, nor many of even the original Pentecostal leaders. But you know what? That makes the marvel of it, of the elect being able to hold their head above the fanaticism that followed the revival. Luther had to do it. Wesley had to do it. Pentecost had to do it. Friend, we are going to have to do the same. I told you years ago, it would be one of the greatest miracles in the last days that we would be able to be identified with this message and hold our head above the fanaticism. Little did I know I was speaking prophetically. I hear more of it every week that goes by. And you say, how in the world can people believe such absolute, utter nonsense? But they do. But the bride goes right on anyhow. That's right. Now, let's read, if you would, in Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How do we get into this church? What is the apostolic belief? Now remember, Brother Branham did not come to tear down apostolic belief, but he came to reestablish the original truth of the way the apostles believed it and taught it. And the church said, amen. Notice now, we closed with this last Wednesday. Paul said, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? So a person could not trust Jesus as their Savior until first they had heard that he was a Savior, right? And someone had vindicated before them enough to solidify their faith on a substantial basis, a foundation by which they would be able to commit their full trust of their soul. Now, it's easy for people to say, well, I commit. You know, but when they're able really to commit from their soul, it takes someone of enough understanding. Now, remember how the introduction of the apostolic doctrine was in order for people to be saved. Now, we believe in singing, do we not? We believe in music. We believe in testifying. We believe in many things like that. But God never committed the gospel to singing bees. God never committed the gospel to going out and just passing out tracts. Now, we do that, and all that is well and good. But God said, preach. I realize I make folks mad when I go this way, but all you got to do is bring your Bible and show me where I'm wrong, and I'll get up next Wednesday night and apologize. Will you do the same? Praise the Lord. Now, singing is good. We believe in singing, and we title it gospel singing. But people going out and they're singing preachers, they're preaching preacher missionary. Where in the world does that come from? In the Word of God. It is not in the Word of God. It is carryover. It is mixture of people trying to add to the Word. But friends, let's say what he said. That's right. Oh my. Notice then, how can they believe in him if they've not heard? Or how shall they hear without a gospel singer? Without a tract giver album? How shall they hear without a tape player? A CD player? An MP3 player? Well, praise the Lord. Now, notice this in Matthew chapter 10, verse 6. Watch the Lord Jesus as he sends out his apostles. Jesus did not tell the disciples to go out and play his tapes. Now, although he could have allowed scientific research and development to have been in 31, 30 AD, 29 AD, where they would have been able to develop magnetic recordings or whatever more, if he would have wanted it to have been that way, and then he could have sent the apostles out and said, now, boys, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to go over to Capernaum. I want you to go over to Bethsaida. I want you to go here and there because you boys ain't got nothing to say because I'm the man. You understand? I'm the man. And what you all going to do, you're going to go out there and you're going to play a tape. And then I'm going to send you to bury the dead, marry the young, you know, this and that and the other. But you ain't going to do no preaching. Because which one of you could even compare to me? I'm God. But the apostolic foundation was in Matthew 10, 6. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel as you go. Preach. Saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in the light. What you hear in the ear, notice this, that preach ye upon the housetops. So, you see, preaching is not set by man. It is not established even by the apostles. It was established by the founder of this church. I want to be plain and honest with you. Those around this message who do not believe in modern day preachers, the truth of it is they're not in this church. They have started their own move, which is Antichrist. If you don't believe in preaching, you're standing against the teaching of the Lord Jesus Himself. Therefore, you are false. I don't care what your name is. I don't care what day you was born on. I don't care what church you go to. You go against the teaching of Jesus, your teaching is Antichrist. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Come on now, saints. Don't get quiet. Y'all have heard hard preaching before. Don't sit there like y'all from some other church. Mark chapter 3, verse 14. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to... Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Not sing the gospel, not teach the gospel, not hand out the gospel on tracts. You cannot sing the gospel in the sense of the fullness. Why? Because preaching the gospel is manifesting the gospel. It's not just preaching. Read your Bible right in the book of Acts. The Bible says they not only heard Philip, but they heard and saw the things which he preached. Real preaching is identified by hearing and seeing. It's not just people coming to church and hearing a preacher give a discourse of an hour and a half or 2 hours. It is them hearing and seeing the power of God made manifest. Praise the Lord. And you're not going to do that with a tract. Neither are you going to do it with a gospel song. Well, hallelujah. Notice again in Luke chapter 9 verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils. Now you may wonder how Judas was able to cast out devils. Now listen carefully. Jesus, by a dictate or a command, he now gives to the apostles, and Judas was one of them. Judas did not cast out devils because of his own personal character. It was not a personal vindication that this man was right with God. He did it by a delegation, a delegated authority from the Lord Jesus himself, right here in Luke 9. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. So Judas could go out and heal the sick, cast out devils, all of that. Why? Because he had direct authority from the Lord Jesus. Didn't mean he was right. Didn't mean he was born again. It did not mean he was vindicated. He had a command from God. I just like the state police, when they will send somebody out, they may send out 50 new men and their new officers, 10 of them may have good character, 40 of them may not have. Who knows how it'll all be, but they're all sworn in by the same way, you know, given the same badge and the same looking hat and so on and so on, but yet they are given the authority. When they pull you over, you never know which one of them you're going to get. You don't know if you're going to get one with character, one without. You don't know what kind of day he's had. You don't know one word you're going to say to him is going to tick him off, and he's going to write you a ticket because you ticked him. So, you know, you never know, because he has this authority given to him by the state of Tennessee. Some have character and some don't. Come on, don't sit there and look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Now, it's the same with this here, that Judas was right among them. Amen. Look how powerful the delegation of authority is. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now Judas was right among them. So Judas cast out devils, he healed the sick, and he also preached. Did he preach the truth? No doubt he did. Now for people who say the devil cannot tell the truth, I beg to differ with you. The devil can tell more truths than most people can. People think the devil can't tell the truth, and that's what makes him the devil. That's not what makes him the devil. He can tell 99.999% of the truth and blend in that one little bitty statement. That's what makes him the devil, because that's the trace of his deceptive character and nature. Oh, the devil can't tell the truth. He can tell the truth. When he come to the Lord Jesus, he quoted to him word after word after word. When the prophet was standing there looking at his wife in the casket, what did the devil tell him? Lies? The devil told him one truth, Brother Darrell, after another, after another, after another. Come on, children. He quotes you and I truth. Oh, sure, he tells lies too. But he tells the truth just like he tells a lie. He tells whichever one suits him the best. That's the way a liar is. Now watch, Acts chapter 5, verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Now here the apostles, after they received the Holy Ghost, they are following through the exact same thing that the Lord Jesus instituted when he gave them the original command. So the apostolic church was based upon live ministry that was going among the people preaching the gospel of that day. Now, did the people then of that hour, did they need what the apostles had to say? Or could they just come back and say, you know what, you're Peter and James and John and Bartholomew and Matthew and Luke and all the rest of you. I don't think I really even need to hear what you got to say. I'm just going to take what Jesus said. Now listen to me carefully. Paul preached things about the new birth that Jesus never said when he was here. Now it wasn't that Jesus didn't know them, but it was not time for them to be spoken. And as the age progressed and went on, in order for you to experience the new birth, you would have to come through the present teaching of the hour. No matter how much you said you believed Jesus, you'd have to follow the teaching of the apostles. Same today. Same today. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews, a stumbling block unto the Greeks, foolishness. Now notice, here they are. They wasn't going around reading Jesus' writings. Now remember, 1 Corinthians was written by them because it was 59 AD. Something like that. It was one of the first books written James of the New Testament that was written. So already the words of the Lord Jesus were being pinned down. And these preachers had the audacity to go out and preach instead of just standing up reading direct quotes only. First Corinthians chapter 9 verse 14. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. I'm not sure how that works if you play tapes. They that play tapes of the, they should live of the, one of the last day mysteries. So do they live of the tape or live of the tape player? If they don't believe in preachers. Send me an email if you understand that deep revelation. Verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Now for every man in this message that quits preaching and sets down because a wannabe bishop tells us we should play tapes, woe unto that preacher. Praise the Lord. Woe to every man that is genuinely called of God that will sit down because somebody tells him he ought to play a tape. Come on now. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 2. Play the tapes. The incense. The prophet Paul telling Timothy, an inferior, secondary minister, to preach the word? When Paul had it straight from God, Timothy was not a prophet. This is why you find Brother Branham ordaining men to preach. I challenge anybody around the world. I make this challenge tonight for every individual around the world. Show me one service where Brother Branham ever had a tape ordaining line, a tape player ordaining line, where people come through and bought their tape players, and Brother Branham laid hands on their tape players and sent them forth to play tapes. Show me where he ever done it. From headquarters to Europe, to Africa, to India, show me. Let me tell you something, friend. Let me go a little farther. Had he done that, I would not be following this message tonight. It would have made Brother Branham a false prophet. How could Paul tell the preachers in his day to preach? And Brother Branham tell the preachers in this day to shut up and play tapes. Now, a God-called preacher, one of the true identifications of this man is that he's actually sent of God. Now, some have just went. Mama wanted some to go. Daddy wanted some to go. Uncle so-and-so wanted some to go, and, you know, maybe Aunt Lucy and whoever more. And some wanted to go themselves. But every God-called man is sent by God. And every God-called man don't want to go. Every mama-called man wants to go. Every God-called man wishes he's a plumber, wishes he's a farmer, wishes he's a painter, wishes he was a surgeon, just anything other than being a preacher. The man is standing in line. Me, God, me. Oh, me, God, me. He's been in the pill bottle. That man will never mount to a hill of beans, because he's got a stuffed head and not a stuffed heart. A real man of God's got a stuffed heart, stuffed full of the goodness and the mercy of God. That's right. God called men don't want to do it. I'm not talking about people that say they don't want to do it. But where do you want to do it? We've heard these quotes so much and these cliches so much that, you know, people, well, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. And yet they've done got 5,700 sermons already lined out before they're even called to preach. They don't want to do it, though. Well, I'm sure, God, they don't, because if they did, they'd have 8,000 sermons already lined out. Well, preach, Brother Don. Well, I'm going to. Notice now, Paul picks it up again in verse 15 of Romans chapter 10. And he said, how shall they preach except they be sent? Now, Paul is not saying that they can't get up here and say, it won't come out. So every man that's not really called, he'll stand up and, and that's the way you'll know he's not sent. If any of y'all ever heard good women preachers? I have. I've heard some good women preachers in Pentecost that could preach circles around some of these men in the message. Well, thank you, Jesus. Oh, I forgot to tell you, we're having church tonight. I'm not sure what. But does that mean God sent them? No. I know a woman years and years ago in Pentecost, an angel of God walked into her bedroom one night and woke her up, a visible angel, and handed her a Bible, which she had never seen before. It was not her husband's. It was not hers. They never knew where the Bible even come from. Handed her a Bible and told her to preach the word. You know what she done? Preached. But God never sent her. Testing 1, 2. I think my microphone's tore up, maybe. But you see, those that God sent sometimes are not even always the one that people think are the most qualified. They may have a stutter in their speech. They may have a character imperfection, you know, in their humanity. They may, you know, they may not be the smartest. More than likely, they won't be the most handsome. They won't be the Romeo type. They won't be a ladies' man, maybe. And they may, some of them's fat, some of them's short, some of them's skinny. Most ones I know is ugly. They may not be the ones that people would pick, but yet, you know, that's not really what makes a man of God, but it's the one that God calls and God sends. Now, he is the one, even though others will study from the same message, will study from the same Bible, but they are not sent from God. Will they have ministries? Oh, yeah. Will they preach? Absolutely. Will they have followings? No question about it. Sometimes their followings will even be bigger than a God-sent man. But a God-sent man is a God-sent man. He's a God-sent man. He's a God-sent man. He's not looking for notoriety. He's not looking to be able to travel around the world. He's not looking for places to be stamped in his passport. I went here, I went there, I done this. Forget it, that man ain't called of God. A God-sent man is one that God himself calls himself. It's not a feeling. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I was reading that scripture last night, Brother Donnie, before we come to church. And don't you know you walked out there and preached on that scripture? That must mean I'm called. That must mean my wife is, because it happens to her as well. Hey, look, I ain't very smart, friends, but whenever God calls you, it's like God picking up the phone and say, hey, what are you doing? I said, well, Lord, I'm done your work. I said, I want you to preach. Oh, you got the wrong number, God. If God's going to call you, God won't tell me to tell Donald, to tell Jim, to tell this and to tell that and to tell that, to give you the word. If God's got something for you to do, God can call Y-O-U. Well, I've got a feeling, I've got to forget it. If God's got something for you to do, he'll let you know. How shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. As Brother Jewel said, I ain't never seen a tape player with feet. And bring glad tidings of good things. Amen. And they cannot do this then without having a divine mission. Now, every God-called man, whether he's lived in the days of Luther or Wesley or Noah, whatever day it was, every God-called man was sent a divine commission of God. The calling itself is divine because this is the foundation of your ministry. When God called me, when I was just a wee boy, I went back to that call many, many decades of my life. When God sent me here over 30 years ago, God made it so real to me. He spoke to me and told me to come. It was as real, as more real than what I'm standing here tonight, because he knew I would go back to that over and over again. A call from God must be something. Well, my wife felt this, and my mother-in-law and my sister and my uncle. No, it must be a call of God to where God himself calls you, and you are that certain that God did it. Then God then incorporates you into a divine mission. And then you watch the declaration of what people say their mission is. Now you look at television preachers, you look at radio preachers, you look at all these things, and you realize that many of them don't even have the divine mission in the first place, because what they are doing, they are calling their own ministry, so-called, away and apart from the local body. You do not find a prophet in the New Testament church being out apart away from the church. The prophet of God in the New Testament went among the saints of God. They didn't have ministers outside of that, and they pulled on their, you know, their tithes and their offerings out of the local assembly. It was not this great preacher and this great ministry. It was the church. Come on now, saints. It was the church. If we're not careful, we're going to adapt more and more and more of Laodicea's worldlyism of the church. And then we've got this ministry apart from the local body. And this ministry apart from the local body. And this one apart from the local body. And if we're not careful, we go to emphasizing these ministries, and the church ain't even got no place no more. Praise be to God. God started it out not with great preachers. God started it out. Not with great ministries that all these people come flocking to the ministry. It was the church. I said it was the church. Luke chapter 4 verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Luke 4:43. And He said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. Luke 9:2. And He sent them. As the Father sent Him, so He sends His. Now, if you're sent from headquarters, and I advise you to do what headquarters tell you to do. If you're sent from some bishop in this message, if you want to keep your position, I'd say what the bishop says. But if you're sent from heaven, you better say what heaven says. Whether the bishop likes it or not, or this potentate, or this one over here, whoever likes it, it doesn't really matter, because you're sent of God. Amen. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick, not to play His tapes. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize. Now the main focus not Paul saying that he did not baptize, because he did. But the focus was he was not just sent around to baptize people only. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to the gospel, not with wisdom of words, but lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. So you agree with me that the apostolic church then was started and founded by the Lord Jesus. And the means by which it would be able to reproduce itself would be spiritual multiplication by preaching the gospel. Right? Is this the way that the church would spiritually multiply itself? Was by preaching the gospel. It was not song conventions. It was not song concerts. Not handing out tracts. Now, not discrediting any of that. But when we change the focus and make it that, friends, we're heading down a road that is contrary to Scripture. Now, the Lord Jesus, when He went to introduce this doctrine, St. John chapter 3, verse 2, of being born again. The same came to Jesus by night. Of course, you know this is Nicodemus. And said unto Him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Look at the word born. Geneo, begat, be born, bring forth of men who father children to be born, to be begotten of women giving birth to children. So in order to get into heaven, the kingdom, you got to be born. Now look at again. Again is anathem, which is from above, from a higher place, from the first place, from the beginning. From the very first, anew, over again. Oh, praise be to God. So you got to be born from above, from the high place, from the first place. How can you be born from the first place if you wasn't there first? You got to be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now remember, the prophet teaches us that this is not just water baptism. You are baptized in water and take on the name of the Lord Jesus, and you are baptized into the fellowship of this church. You are not born of the water when we baptize you. But He tells us being born of the water is being born of the washing of the water by the Word. Because remember, it was three elements that came out of his body. Amen. Blood, water, and life, or spirit. So when the water came out of his body, was that baptismal water? Well, we don't have that water. We got Carter County water. Well, people down at Brother Tim's church, they got Louisiana water. People in Nigeria, they got Nigerian water. People in India, they got Indian water. But every person that's really born again is born of the same water. Amen. Born where? The water, the washing of the water by the Word. So you're born of the water of the Word. Amen. And then it leads you right on into the birth of the Holy Ghost. My, my. Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. So the wind comes and it blows, and you don't know where it come from, and you don't know where it goes. And he says, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So you come from a world that you're not certain where it's at, and you're going to a world where you're not certain where it's at, but all you know is you're blowing through. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Now, Nicodemus, I call Jews, felt like being born a Jew, that automatically you're born into the promised kingdom that God had swore to Abraham. But this kingdom was now coming to a close, so he could not comprehend him being a Jew. How in the world could this actually happen? So Jesus shows him that a man must become a new creature or a new being. Now, we know it's been so twisted and so turned around, you know, come up and shake the hand and, you know, do this, you got to speak in tongues, you got to do this, that, and the other. But that's not the teaching of the Scripture. Notice in Jeremiah 31, 33, it was foreshadowed in the Old Testament. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, spiritual Israel, by the new birth, we don't just have it, you know, do's and don'ts and do's and don'ts. Well, y'all all the time preaching do's and don'ts, but to a real child of God, the do's and don'ts are not just in a page or a paragraph or a quote. It's actually written inside of their heart. That there's something there, a compliance that Adam had in the beginning, which he left by unbelief. And then by the new birth, God restores that power inside of us being born again that gives us a desire that matches the revealed word of the age. So we are born not of our will, but of His will. Galatians chapter 6, verse 15. In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything or uncircumcision, but a new creature. So the new birth is not the reformation of the old nature, but it's actually a creation of the new. Keep in mind now, it is not a reformation of the old nature. Well, I've got to become a church member now, and I've got to learn how to control my temper, and I've got to learn how to do this, and I've got to learn how to turn my head the other way, and I've got not saying that there's not disciplinary things that we do. But unless we're born again by the Spirit of God, we're just trying to learn the do's and don'ts, and we'll still be lost. You don't go to heaven because you mimic another Christian who has it by divine nature. The only way we go to heaven is by us having been born again, by divine nature living itself out. Amen. John chapter 1 verse 11, he came into his own and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become. Look at the meaning of this word. Come to pass. Oh, glory to God. Come to pass. To become sons of God. What happened to you? Do you understand? You are coming to pass. The rapture revelation is coming to pass, Brother Rob, in our life. The new birth, the control of the Holy Ghost, Brother Dale, it's coming to pass in our lives on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly walk with God. We are coming to pass. Then the new birth gives us the initiation of this power, this expedient presence from God that come down is right on you, and that imminent presence of the Lord Jesus. And it comes, this is why I said, it's expedient for you that I go away. I'm going to pray the Father and He'll send you another comforter. He said He will be with you because He is with you now, but He will be in you then. What was it? Changing of the office of a dispensation. He said He is now with you, but then He will be in you. Not another person, the same one. Oh, praise be to God. Notice in verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Amen. Now, did Jesus just teach that the apostles should go and believe on Him as Savior? They should continue and share this now that God had sent a Savior to the world. And that they pretty much would live a life in sin. That they would live a life that they'd always struggle, and sin most of the time would overcome them. And they would be these poor, pitiful creatures in existence of time that would be miserable, really, because they no longer belong in the world and they really can't be born of God. So they just kind of hang somewhere suspended in the middle. That's not what my Bible teaches. Notice the promise of the Holy Ghost in St. John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Now listen, when a sinner comes to God, they cannot receive on their instantaneous perception of God, I accept the Lord Jesus, Lord forgive me of my sins, according to the words of the Lord Jesus Himself, they cannot receive the Holy Ghost as a sinner. It's a process. Now, can it happen the same night? It can. But God ain't going to break His pattern. Praise the Lord. Well, some of you got quiet. So I still see there's some Baptists among us. Now, notice, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him. For He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Well, who was it dwelling with them? It was Jesus Christ in the form of His office now on the earth in sonship. Yeah, He said He's dwelling with you, but He will be in you. How's that going to be? He's coming back in the form of the pillar of fire. He's going to baptize them with Himself. He in that form in them, oh, listen to me, will take them farther than He in the human form could ever take them. Oh my goodness. Jesus Christ in the form of sonship just teaching the apostles, as wonderful as it was. But He could not in that form impart unto them the ability to overcome sin. Even though He was the greatest preacher that ever was on the earth, it had to be Him in the form of the Holy Ghost to come back and get inside their soul and then empower them with the life to overcome what He taught them in sonship form. Praise be to God. Oh my, St. John 14, 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So which one's coming? The Son or this other guy? So which one have you got in you tonight? Are both of them in there vying for position? So which one have you got, Jesus or the Holy Ghost? You say, I've got them both, if you've got an understanding, because they are one. Amen. Verse 20. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Verse 26. Now, remember, this is not now speaking to people that are just saved. The apostles are saved. They've been baptized by Jesus Himself. Couldn't ask for nobody better to baptize you. But Jesus is telling them the comfort is going to come, and you boys ain't got it yet. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost from the Father, will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. They ain't got him yet. Whatsoever I have said unto you. How do you think they recall words that people said when Jesus was here 30 years prior to this, 35 years prior to this? How do you figure they brought that down and wrote it down in the Bible? Because the Holy Ghost brought it to their remembrance. They had human memory just like you and I. When they got older, their memory no doubt lapsed. You imagine the Spirit of God began to move on these guys as they would sit down and begin to write. And it was like they was reliving that moment itself. They were caught back in that moment while the Holy Ghost is present everywhere. So he would actually take Matthew back and them other guys as they'd go around and talk to these people that was there. How did that happen? And John, as he would recall it and remember word for word what was said. Oh, praise be to God. Why? Because Jesus said the Holy Ghost will bring these things to your remembrance. I'm glad he did. I said, I'm glad he did. Bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. This is why you can have confidence in the New Testament. Because the Lord Jesus said the Holy Ghost would come and help the disciples to remember it, to write it down so you could read it. Acts chapter 1 verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, and being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. So he forbid them to go preach another sermon. Don't you go study. Don't you hold a teaching series. Don't you do nothing else until you're born again. The promise of the Father says, see what you've heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptizo. Changed from a cucumber to a pickle. Now, this is the word that Jesus used. You shall be changed from a cucumber to a pickle with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So they had not already got it then. You'll agree with that. They had not received the Holy Ghost. So they had not been baptizo yet. They were still cukes. Peter turned out to be a cussing cuke. All the rest of them turned out to be denying cukes. Jesus said, I'm tired of it. Don't go out and preach no more. Don't hold no meetings till you get the Holy Ghost. Well, I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings, but I got to be honest and say the truth. I figure if a lot of our message preachers had done that, we'd be in a lot better shape today. Some of them come from Pentecost and Baptist and Methodist and Church of Christ and went straight from there, started picking up message tapes and books and started preaching the same thing. Never actually had a word birth of Malachi 4. Ain't no wonder they go off down the road somewhere. Come on, children, don't get quiet. It ain't enough to change your doctrine. You got to be born of the Word for your hour. But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So Jesus is telling them, intellectual conception is not enough. As the Son of God, that's what I have given you. I've taught you. I've lived the right kind of life. I've spoken the words of life. But I'm going to change and come back in the form of the Holy Ghost, and then I'm going in you. And I am going to baptize you, Brother Cucumber Peter. I'm going to baptize you, Brother Cucumber John. I'm going to baptize you, Mary, my mother. I'm going to change you to a pickle. I have baptized you already in water, But you wasn't born of the water when I did it. Well, glory to God. I baptized you in water, Peter. I baptized you in water, John. But I'm fixing to baptize you in fire. Praise be to God. Notice verse 8. And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. No promise of power now of the new birth when they're just being saved. The promise of power comes with the indwelling of deity in their souls. You don't have deity in you when you become saved. You're forgiven. But the world cannot receive the Holy Ghost. No. The cosmos cannot receive it. So they're forgiven. They're justified. But they've got to be cleansed and sanctified in order for Him to walk in them. Notice now when he came, and let's close, Acts chapter 2, verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and sat there so quietly, and they all looked at one another, and some of them were asleep. Scotty was telling me the other day that they had went to a museum, and it was a crime museum and all that, and they had found here in America several hundred years ago that you could actually go to jail, wouldn't it, or be fined or something like that for going to sleep in church. I said, dear God, thank you. That law still don't exist today. Had to say that to kind of break you. Somebody looking at me kind of hard. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit. So it was not their mama. Jesus. That's it. It was not somebody beating them on the back. It was not somebody up beside him tempting them by speaking in tongues themselves, trying to get them to utter something. Do we believe in speaking in tongues? We do. But I believe the Spirit ought to be the giver of it, not me. I don't think it ought to be your mama. I don't think it ought to be one of the preachers here at the church beating you on the back, or somewhere else trying to beat you on the back in order to get you to do it. I believe the Spirit still gives the utterance. Well, praise the Lord. I'm still apostolic in my faith. Notice now in verse 38. We'll close. Then Peter said unto them. Now they asked, men and brethren, what must we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the titles of Father, Son, in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts chapter 5, verse 31. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. And we are witnesses of these things. So also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them. A sinner cannot come to this altar and get the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is given to them that obey Him. You know why a lot of folks sit around our message churches and don't get it? This verse is the key. They're not obeying. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Oh, come on. Let's give the Lord Jesus a hand. Praise be to God. Amen. So who started the church? Jesus. He started it on the basis of truth, right? By the form of preaching, right? Given to men that are God called, God sent, ordained men. But they are only to be men that are truly born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. God ain't got no room in His ministry for politicians. Well, if you'll vote me in as pastor, I won't preach this and I'll do that and I won't. No, you need to run for mayor. You need to run for president, governor, senator. We don't need politicians in the pulpit. We need men of God that'll handle the Word of God with love. Not with arrogance, pride. No, no. But with the love of God. So loving the people of God they're sent to preach to, they would die for them. Right? Do you believe that this message has come to restore a people on the earth in the last days back to an apostolic faith? Bible principles that Paul, Peter, James, John believed, practiced, and obeyed and taught others. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Do we have then? Do we have to go to Pentecost? Do we have to go to these guys out there in order to bring revival into the bride?
No.
Absolutely not. Do we need their sensations and their emotions and their, you know, whatever thing that they think they have to enlighten us?
No.
Bride's revival is going to come by a bride's message. A rapturing faith is not going to come by denominational preaching.
Amen.
Do we believe in emotion? We do. Do we believe in sensation? Absolutely. Does sensation come with it? It does.
Amen.
Does emotion come with it? It does. But many people get the emotion and don't get it. I want it, and whatever it is, I'll have all that it is. Sensation, emotion, reality, praise the Lord. I've been through the fanatical side, so I know what it can produce. But I also know the emptiness that it leaves you. I know the emotions. I know the feelings. I know the different things that the emotional side can produce. That's why I'm not interested in going back to such. Nor am I interested in taking you there.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I've dealt with many people that had nothing but a dry-eyed confession. I see what that produces. I don't want you to go that way either. But what do we want? We want a good balance right down the middle of the road. Every preacher in this message thinks he's in the middle of the road, but there can't be everybody in the middle of the road. There's too many ditch hangers.
Amen. Amen.
But by God's help, I desire, I hope you desire, to be in the middle of the road. With the truth, the warmness of the Spirit of God able to move among us, but not fanaticism.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Not fanaticism. Brother Branham so struck that stuff when he was here. He talked about it in his day. It was absolutely awful. And it's worse today. Praise the Lord. It's worse today. It's worse than Pentecost. And it's actually worse than some of the message churches.
Amen.
They got a preacher in South Africa go around declaring that he's Elohim. Got another going around declaring that he's the Holy Ghost. And hundreds of people follow him. What is it? Absolute nonsense. Saying that the blood is off the mercy seat. It was a Levitical priesthood up to 63, and then he changed over from that to Melchizedek priesthood with no more blood, so nobody can be saved. I don't have time for such trash. Praise the Lord. And then we've got some that straddle the fence in the message, and all they want is a bunch of hoopla and shouting and running and jumping and carrying on. I don't want that either. I want the genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want the warmness of the Spirit of God in our hearts, Brother Darrell, but I want the truth as well. But I don't want just truth. I want the Spirit of truth to abide in us that will make us like Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Would you raise your hand with me tonight if that's your desire? That's what you want in your heart. That's what we want in our church. Yes, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your word. Lord God, I realize these things have to come. Lord, as I receive that text today from that brother. He's one of the pillars of the message. One of the great men of God of this hour. And yet, the sorrow in his heart as he was asking and was discussing some of these things that are being preached. And I just felt the cry in his spirit, Lord. The sadness. But we know that everybody that names the name of Christ will not be saved. Everybody that quotes your prophet is not bride. We know this message will gather together the elect. But we know as Eliezer was sent together, call the bride back. She wasn't the only one that followed him. But Rebecca's maidens and servants, they come back with her. But they wasn't the bride. So this gathering is not just bride alone. But the foolish virgin will come out. Oh Lord God, I pray your Holy Ghost would pass by this way tonight, Lord. If there's one here tonight who can receive it, Lord Jesus, may you fill them. Oh Lamb of God, we don't want to be intellectual believers. We don't want to just hear the teaching of the Son of Man. The teaching, oh Lord, of the great quotes and mysteries of the message of the end time. But we want the Holy Ghost living in us. Lord, when will we ever realize it must transcend just teaching, personal teaching in our hearts and us being able to quote the Bible and quote the prophet. It must come to that personal indwelling presence. Your teaching alone could not keep Peter from cursing. Your teaching alone could not keep him from denying you. We'll look at it next week probably, but Lord, you told him, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail you. When you are converted, strengthen your brethren. So he was saved, sanctified, preached, healed the sick, cast out devils. But he still got to get converted. Because the teaching of Jesus, oh God, help us to see it, Lord. The teaching of Jesus alone could not do it. May I venture out and say, people can listen to tapes 24 hours a day. They can know Brother Branham's words so well that they can stutter when he stutters. They can listen to me and any other preacher the same way. But until you enter their soul, they're still not born again. Help us, I pray, Father. Oh, Lord Jesus, we worship you tonight, living God. We want you among us. Oh, we believe in your emotion that strikes us. We believe, oh God, we believe you are emotional. The prophet tells us the enthusiasm of God moved upon him when he struck Christ, the masterpiece. The enthusiasm of God. An enthusiasm is like an emotion that we experience ourselves. So we know that when you were here, you cried, you wept, you laughed, you rejoiced. So we know you have emotions. We believe in it, Lord. But Father, we want that reality first. Then let that reality anoint our emotions. Then whenever we feel it or whether we don't, our faith is still just as strong. Then, Lord, we won't get hung up like Pentecost did. The prophet said it got to a place, Lord. All was running out of their hands. Blood out of their hands, or I smell a devil, or give your money here, or how many will stand with that? He said, Brother Jagger's got out to a place with his vitamin pills that people wasn't going to die. They baptized them to eternal life. Lord God, help us, I pray. He said, all those unscriptural things, help us, Lord Jesus. We love you, Father. We want to be a Bible-believing people. By saying that, we believe that this message goes hand in hand with our Bibles. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Go with us now, Father, I pray, as we leave this place. Bring us back this weekend, Lord. I know you have some wonderful things for us. We so love you, Lord Jesus. We appreciate you. Go with us now, I pray. Lord, again, I mention those that are sick. So many sick, suffering, Lord, with different things going on in their bodies. May the presence of God move for them, I pray, Lord God. Heavenly Father, we ask for those, Lord Jesus, that Brother Taz, you see, dear God, his situation very serious, Lord. Sister Jill Fleeman flying down to Mexico, Lord, you see her situation. Brother Eugene Kennedy, Lord, and we know early yesterday, Lord Jesus, Stephanie crossed over. We thank you for your grace to deal with her heart, Lord. We thank you, Father. We believe your mercy reached out to her, Lord God, and called her back before she crossed over. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. We worship you. Almighty God, we bless your name. You love him, saints, with all your heart. Can we just raise our hands for just a few minutes and give him a little worship? Oh my, he's so worthy of it all. He wants us to be emotional. He wants us to cry. Oh, sure, when the Spirit moves on us and he wants us to holler and raise our voice and maybe dance around a little bit and whatever more, we believe in all that. But we want to make sure we have what we should have so we can say when we're shouting about the right thing. We've seen a lot shout. And where are they tonight? Out running around in the world. We've seen a lot that said they believe the message. Where are they tonight? Gone. We want to have something that will keep us in this hour. Something that will withstand the evil day. The same thing the apostles taught. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, the new birth. Jesus Christ in you. Your lick of fire that quickened that seed that lay dormant in your soul. Praise be to God. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Harry, let's sing something together as we go. God bless you, saints. I love you in the Lord. And it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise be to God. God bless you. Let's sing whatever's on Harry's heart tonight as we go. Come back again this weekend expecting the Lord to speak to us again his word. Amen.
He abides.
Amen.
He abides. Hallelujah. He abides.
Amen.
With me. I'm rejoicing night and day
as I walk this out of solitude.
For the Comforter abides.
Amen, everybody. He abides.
Oh, he abides. Abides with me. Once my heart was full of sin, once I had no peace within, till I heard how Jesus died upon the tree. Then I fell down at his feet, and there came peace so sweet. Now the Comforter abides with me. Oh, he abides, he abides. Hallelujah, he abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. There's no thirsting for the things of this world, they've taken wings. Long ago I gave them up, and instantly all my night was turned to day, all my burdens rolled away. Since the Comforter abides with me. Yes, He abides. He abides. Hallelujah, He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way, for the Comforter abides.